Well, hello and welcome to the Smells Like Money podcast. Join me, Suzanne Chin Taylor, the doo-doo diva, as I interview guests who are making an impact on how we manage and operate systems for conveying and treating wastewater. As a veteran of the wastewater, trenchless, and civil infrastructure industry, each week I'll be bringing you industry know-how from industry pros who know how. Join me each week as I speak with representatives of organizations that are utilizing disruptive or new technologies and methods, and executives who are excited to share how to be successful and sustainable in our vital industry. So whether you want to learn about the latest trends in technology, in treatment or trenchless, gain tips on training and retaining great talent, or simply how to be more efficient, productive, or profitable, this podcast is for you. Ready? Let's dive right in. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of the Doo-Doo Diva Smells Like Money podcast. Today, we have the great pleasure of having on our show my new female or gal pal in the industry, Lily Parker, who is the business development liaison for East Coast Infrastructure. And you are based out of the, what did you call it? The Tidewater, did I get that right? Area of the States in beautiful Virginia. And so the reason I'm having Lily come onto the show today is when we were talking about some other things when we first met, she told me about an incredible program, really, that she's spearheading that her company is doing with local schools to help encourage young people to get interested in careers in the construction field and the trenchless field and what we all do for a living, my great passion, as you know. And so we all know that we are facing a huge, huge dilemma of labor shortages everywhere. So where are we going to find that next wave of people to come in? Well, it starts and when they're young. So we got to hook them while they're young. And so Lily, tell me about how you got started with this. I know you're a mom of two young children, but what spurred you to want to do this?
Seeing the needs of my industry and really spending some time thinking how I can change that. And then one day, you know, everything happens for a reason. Listening to a woman in construction speak, and she was talking about how she came to school, to her son's school for career day, as we all get, you know, volunteered and go in anxiously to do. And when she was there, some of the students were like, I didn't know girls worked in construction. And hearing her speak on that was like, okay, this is it. I've got to show up. I've got to be present. I've got to draw some attention to my industry. And I got to let all the little other girls out there know, hey, even if you're a woman, there's a place for you in this industry, believe it or not. It's one of the best paying industries starting out. That is statistics. And so I feel like by doing this, we're giving children the opportunity who may not want to go to college or not feel like they're capable or couldn't financially afford it, to give them a good start in their life, a good career that will take good care of them.
And it's not just, you know, it's that stigma, oh, I'm a construction worker. It's not that guy that's, it's more than the guy that's digging the ditch on the side of the road. And I think that's the other thing that we need to break down, that stigma, that there are many, many places that you can go in the construction field. And, you know, for us, and what we're talking about is like utilities construction, trenchless technology. And there are so many facets to that that fall under that bucket of construction careers. Like I think about CCTV operators. That's like somebody said, oh, that's like getting to play a video game every day. Oh, what kid would, because that's what you and I, the, you know, spurned this idea of, oh, let's talk about this and go into that. Tell me a little bit about that when you've shown them about what it's like to be a CCTV camera operator and what happens as a result of that.
Right. So when I go for these, I call them career days or you can call it whatever. But when I go out and I try to present this opportunity to our youth, I try to meet them where they're at. Like, what is going to, you know, draw their interest? What is going to intrigue them? And one of the things that we offer at East Coast Infrastructure is CCTV services. And when you're performing those services, you're using the same game controller that an Xbox uses or a PlayStation. So as I was, you know, approaching this career day and approaching this opportunity, I was like, this would be perfect. I don't know a child from ages, 6 to 18 and older. I mean, we all know this generation, they love to play their video games. So I was like, I don't know who I wouldn't be able to intrigue. And so I did so. And I mean, across the board, everybody was tickled. The younger children loved the game controller, but loved seeing the camera move because it was so almost like sci-fi seeing this robotic, you know, camera crawling across the ground and then being able to see their picture on the TV screen as that camera crawled by them, all the way up to the older students who just thought it was awesome that they could make a career out of playing video games all day.
And playing with robots.
So, you know, you just got to meet them where they're at. Yeah, exactly. Playing with robots, playing with a video game controller. You know, some of them were like, let me turn to my resume now because I'm great at this. And I was like, come on.
Well, so. And even when you think about it, the big trucks, like the sewer combo trucks or the jetting trucks or the hydrovacs and the hydro excavators, mm-hmm. you know, kids love it when the fire truck shows up, you know, on certain days. Right. They're fascinated by the big red fire truck. I'm thinking some of these big trucks that we've got in our fleets, that would be just as fascinating to young children of, ooh, what is that? And like, ooh, right.
I'd like to explain that. Yeah, I try to explain how these things operate in terms and in ways that they can understand. So, if, for example, when I'm talking about a vac truck, I ask them, do you know the hose on your vacuum that your mom uses to clean up, you know, crumbs or in the corners? And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, okay, so that hose on this truck, and that's what it does. They use that hose to clean out, you know, your storm water systems and your wastewater systems. And they're like, oh, you know, it makes it relative to them in a way that they can understand what this opportunity is and go from there. But furthermore, it's not even just about the equipment and things like that, because that is a no-brainer, right? When you look at the construction industry, you see the equipment, you see the construction sites. It's everything that happens behind closed doors that I try to explain to the students that I am, you know, lucky to come in contact with is, you know, they're look at the construction industry like a village, right? It takes everybody of all shapes, of all sizes, of all loves to make this work. So if your talent is photography, well, quite often we need photographers to take pictures of our jobs for us to use for marketing purposes, to hand back to our clients so they can see before and after of the, you know, product, quote unquote, that we're offering them and things of that nature. So if that is your fit, believe it or not, you can be in construction. You don't only have to be a wedding photographer. There's other options out there for you if you're more intrigued by this heavy utility industry. And just like CCTV, there's another photography opportunity. So just because you may be of more of the art side of things doesn't mean you don't have a place in this industry. There is room for everyone. And if you're creative enough, you'll make your place, even if it's not here yet.
I love that. And because I look at myself, I started out many years ago after out of school in hotel management and accounting, and then got into marketing and wound up starting my career with a CCTV camera manufacturer going on 24 years now. And absolutely fell in love with the industry. So here right. I was, a writer and a video editor and a graphic designer and a web designer. And here I am, the doo-doo diva, like loving the sewer.
Right.
Like, go figure. So Lily, you know, when you are thinking about doing a program or you were going to advise, you know, any contracting firm to be thinking, yeah, I should be doing this in my community too, or I'd like to. Did you just start with elementary, or did you do middle school or high school, or did you do all of the above?
All of the above, definitely the latter of that one, because it doesn't matter if you're in pre-K 2, pre-K 3, you will be just as excited to see all of the sparkly big equipment roll onto your campus and start to intrigue your interest and your imagination in this industry, all the way up through middle school and high school into our local colleges, community colleges, as well as technical and trade schools. Because just because you're getting a degree in something, I don't want you to limit yourself to what the normal path for that degree is. So for example, CDL, sure, you could go on and be drive 18 wheelers and just live your life on the road. Or you could learn that you need a CTL to drive a vac truck. You may have not even known what a vac truck was. You need your CDL to operate most heavy, equipment, or drive a low boy or things of that nature, and at least give you a secondary option as to what career path you decide to take and what industry you decide to, fully elope yourself into.
So when you first got started with this idea of community outreach, how did you get the schools, or what would you advise others that are like, this sounds like a great idea, I should maybe do this myself? How do they have to get started, and how do you get the schools to, I would say, invite you or accept you to come in to do this kind of presentation to the school children?
Right. So what I did, because I am a mother of two, is I started by trial and error, right? Trial and fire is what I always say. So I went to my daughter and son's school and I presented the opportunity. I knew they had a career day coming up because they had been advertising that. And I kind of presented the opportunity and what I was going to bring with me, and they fell in love with it. And I gave it my all, because again, this was my first time. I was nervous. I didn't know what to expect from the children, because kids can be harsh. They're the harshest critics ever. So I just kind of not winged it. I definitely planned ahead, but prepared for criticisms, because I knew this was going to be a learning moment. I was going to grow from this. And honestly, it was the best thing I ever did. I got better responses, better questions. You would be blown away by the level of intelligence and the questions that these children ask, as well as what they are keeping up with because of what their parents are keeping up with. So at the time that I did this, one of the big stories on the news was about a fugitive couple that was hiding in a manhole, I believe, and a CCTV company went out to camera that manhole and found the couple in the manhole and had to call 911. It was all over the news. The students that I was presenting this career to knew about this, which intrigued them. So it made it very real for them, and made it very relative, and it just enhanced the experience that both of us had, because then they had more questions about what we were doing in our community.
Oh, wow. So, earlier said, well, how do you get started? You went there, but you had mentioned some great ideas of how to approach and where to start if you're not sure. Like, what if you're someone that, your children are way out of school, you don't have that, connection to the local elementary school anymore or the local high school? What are some ways that you can get started? And also, what are some of the things that you want to think about preparing to present? Like you said, to make relative to them, so that they get excited.
Right. So if you're definitely disconnected from the youth because your kids are long gone and grown, God bless you. You're so lucky. I'm going to be you one day and be very well rested. But in the meantime, if you really want to get more involved in your community, I highly suggest looking up. We have Google at our fingertips. Google your local schools. Start at your high schools, elementary schools, middle schools, and then pay them a visit. Everything works well and works better in person. You have to remember, these people are just as busy as us. They are molding the future. They are trying to sculpt these children in to be good citizens and, take on these careers. So pay them a visit, sit down with that guidance counselor, that principal, whoever is in charge of organizing these events, and just say, hey, look, this is what I want to bring and present, and I promise you they won't turn you away. You know, it's another opportunity for their students. They would never turn you away, and they'll be happy that you want to get involved, honestly. Because like I said to you previously, they're busy. They don't have time to call, and you know, they don't have no idea who you are. So make yourself known, start building that relationship and those connections so that you can build the relationship with the students. They can build that relationship with this industry and it can continue to grow. Just plant that seed, you know?
What's been the reaction after you've come in for the most part from these schools?
Come back, come back. We need to see you again. They loved it. How can we see you on Science Day? Because there's another place you don't think we fit, right? Science. But we are every day working with science, whether we're talking about, you know, how odor is controlled at our water treatment facilities or in our pump stations, or we're looking at our cameras. That is technology. That technology is science. Things of that nature. We always fit the bill. Just like whoever wants to enter this industry, you will always fit the bill. You just got to figure out where you fit in, right? And make it work. And that, to answer your other question about how to make sure you're relative, how to make sure, you know, you're going to be able to intrigue their interest, I really would just say, again, lean on that guidance counselor. Lean on the teachers. Just ask, hey, what are they really into right now? What do you feel like I could do to really grab their interest? And of course, they'll give you advice, and then you can really spend some time reflecting on what you do on a daily basis and how you would pitch that to whatever age group, you know, you're pitching it to.
So I take it you don't do things like PowerPoint presentations or handouts. Like I would say, what is the nature of the presentation? I imagine you roll the equipment up, so it's a lot of hands-on type of things for the kids.
Yes.
But what did that take for you to put that together?
Nothing. Nothing, because it's everything that we have access to at our fingertips every day. So with my younger group of kids, the big thing right now for kids is sensory bends, letting them touch things, explore them with their hands, because that leaves an imprint on their brain, right? What they touch with their hands, they touch with their minds. So when I approached my elementary school career day, I brought the CCTV truck, I backed it up for them so they could see themselves on the cameras and see the robotic camera rolling around. They could see the controller and play with that as well. But then I brought other things because we're more than just that, right? So I brought my work boots and I sat them, of course, they were a new pair, but I sat them out for the kids and I said, whoever can crush the toe of my work boot gets a lollipop. And so all these kids with all their might trying to crush that steel toe work boot. And they're like, why can't we do it? What is in the toe of your boot? And I was like, they're steel toe and they're really, really hard. And why would I need something really hard over my toes? And I let them answer the questions. I let them fill in the blanks.
That's a great way. Not only in their mind,
but for me, verbally. Right. I brought my hard hat. And then at the end of everything, I let every child individually take a picture in hard hat, high vis, with the work boots, in front of the truck, holding however they wanted to pose. So it felt like they were stepping into their future selves in this industry.
Oh, that's the photo is a great idea. I love this. And now, you know, yeah, you're giving up your time. You're taking your truck out of the field for the day, but you're giving back to your community, who is where your customers are from. But I'm putting my marketing hat on here. I'm also thinking doing something like this, contracting business owners. Hey, manufacturers could do this too, that are in our industry to help educate. You know, we all talk about how the United States really needs to encourage, you know, STEM programs. This is a great opportunity, not just for contractors, but the technology solutions providers to get involved in the schools to get people or the kids interested in, ooh, that's kind of interesting. Because maybe it's someone that's doing, like you had a degree in biology. Let's say they want to go into chemistry. You know, you're the one of the latest installers for Reline America. You think maybe a lining company right. that does resins might need a chemist someday in the lab? Well, sure they will. Yes. So it's another way to just come in the, it's getting those, opening those doors, and let's think outside of the box on how we can help the community. But here's the other thing. Do you not think that you doing and giving this back to the community does not become a great PR opportunity?
Yes,
talk
exactly.
About it in the local news for your name, on social media, even in the industry pubs to get the word out. And so, you know, for those of you listening, don't just think of a program like this as, okay, we're trying to get our workforce built up. There's so many different things that can be done with this that it becomes a win-win for everybody involved, all the stakeholders for this. So,
right.
Yeah.
So another part of that,
go ahead, run with it.
Another part of that that people don't think about, with me taking pictures of these students in my hard hat with my logo, with my high vis, with my logo in front of my truck and sending it home to their parents, you have no idea who their parents are, do you? You don't.
No.
So their parent could be somebody in a municipality, a future client to see the action that you are taking within your community and really solidify that bond, because they'll be like, oh, well, not only do I, because people, like we've discussed before, people don't work with products and companies. No, people work with people. So if they see that you are a company that goes above and beyond to reach the youth and to generate interest in our industry, they're going to be all the more willing to work with you in the future and give you that opportunity. So not only are we opening doors for our youth, we're opening doors for ourselves.
You were talking about Bill Gates, and I want you to share the feelings, because it has a lot to do with also young people need to be encouraged, because we need to embrace as much as we can, whether we're contractors, plant operators, whatever. We have to be willing to embrace new technology, because that's what the youth are expecting. You know, most of these young people that are coming out, that are going to be our next wave, that are coming, they were born almost literally with cell phones and smartphones in their hands. So they
literally
don't do it the old fashioned, you know, hard mechanical way. They want to see right. the latest and greatest. And so you said something to me that I want you to share with the audience about, you know, your thoughts, you know, and it's basically from Bill Gates' playbook. And so with that, you know, share that with our audience, please.
So what I was saying is, you know, Bill Gates, as much as we may have all of our different yeah. thoughts and feelings on him, right? Because we do. But he is intelligent enough to reach out into his high schools and throw these career fairs. So he doesn't just target college students, right? Because that's normally when you talk about tech companies reaching out for right. to try to develop something, they're going to go into colleges. They're not going to go lower than that. But Bill Gates has spoke on having different science fairs and presenting some problem, right? So we could present a problem that we're having in wastewater. We could talk about odor control or something of that nature. And we could pitch it to a bunch of high school students and have almost like a science fair where they develop some sort of technology to address the problem. They're younger, they're more technologically advanced. They're really imaginative. Like, that's worn out of us the older we get, right? I mean, even once we're in college, you have your doubts about a lot of things and you don't believe in a whole lot. They're really willing to believe and dream. So if you give them a problem, they're going to come up with what might be the next breakthrough in technology to advance our industry. And I feel like, why aren't we doing that? You know, if they're doing that in other tech areas around the world, why is construction always the last to jump on that bandwagon? We should be doing that. We should be coming to some high school students and say, hey, this is a problem in our community. What do you think we should do to solve it? And let their imagination and their talents and creativity take way and really provide us that solution.
And you could take that even one step further. There's a lot of organizations that do things, and it gets the label of cause marketing, where you could yes. have a problem and you throw it out to several schools And of course you market it, but you're the company behind it, you know, maybe providing some resources for that experiment, and then let these teams compete to who's going to come up with the best solution, like really up the game, and maybe have the head of the science department for that school kind of be overseeing this as like a challenge. Almost like almost like what when they do the ops challenge, but this is more like an intellectual challenge for a solution. And then all those schools get a pitch to promote that within their community and make it something where it's like a county event or whatnot, where at the end you have consulting engineers, maybe from a university or different industries, get a bunch of people involved and take a look at what all these kids submit and then give some type of prize to winning one. Or maybe those kids on the team are given a summer internship at those companies to take it one step further. There's so many ways that we can go with this that, hey, sky's the limit. It's like we are only stopped by the level of our imagination.
Yes, exactly what I'm trying to say. And you hit every point. And we benefit from doing this because not only the students that participate in something like this, not only are they going to be more intrigued about like, hey, what are they doing in the construction industry? I didn't know this, that this was it and that I would take interest. So not only are you sparking that little flame, but all the other students that don't participate, they'll hear about it. And then their parents will hear about it, and it will just boom through the community that, hey, not only is this company providing this opportunity to all of these, you know, young adults, and really helping them grow professionally and, you know, educationally, but they're providing an opportunity for our community to grow. They're trying to better our community by bringing us all together, using all of the resources, all the minds.
Right. And you were saying about communities. Hey, we're helping to make perhaps, like you were saying earlier, some children that may not want to go to college, or they don't have the means, just an interest, or one of the biggest factors, they can't afford it, or they don't want after 4 or 5 years to be just saddled with mountains and mountains of college debt, that we're helping these young people become self-sustaining with a career that actually pays better than just a bare minimum living wage.
Right, exactly. And even if it's something that they start out in and they just cultivate that love and that talent until they really know what it is, and they decide, okay, I have the mind of an engineer. That's why I love being in the field and building these things, because I like to problem solve, and I like, you know, what have you, that could be when they decide, okay, now that I have that background, that knowledge, and I've really cultivated this love, I'm going to pursue a degree, and I'm going to fast track myself because I know where I'm headed, right? We expect 18-year-olds to know what they're doing and where they're headed. And I hate to tell you, but even at my age, some days I'm like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? So why do we expect that of children, for God's sake? Let's give them tools to really expose them and let them play with whatever it is our industry has to offer, so they can really feel this industry out and decide, okay, is there interest here? Is this flame lit? Shall I move it down this path? Or is there a better path for me that I have way more interest in, or is more geared to my talents? Because once we show them that it's not one size fits all, it's you fit, just figure out where, then, you know, the sky's the limit for both us and them.
Oh, absolutely. Well, for those of you who are tuning in, Lily is, as you can see, she's a spitball firecracker in our industry, is willing to share, you know, her tips, her formulas, or anything. If you are interested in maybe developing something like this yourself, or maybe if you have, how to take it to the next level, because she shared some great ideas. I think today, I just love that photo idea. Again, not knowing who those parents are, is that just this little subtle thing may be the thing that opens the door for your next big opportunity. And so Lily is, you can find her on LinkedIn, Lily Parker. And, you know, welcome to connect with her. In the show notes and below on this video, we have her contact information. Her company is eastcoastinfrastructure.com. That's just how it's spelled. And I encourage you, reach out to her and, you know, let's all work together. I think, you know, let's plant those seeds for that next generation, because we're only really helping ourselves by bringing new blood into, for us, what we consider, and those of us listening, the greatest industry in the world. And so, you know, Lily, thank you for coming on the show, sharing what you've been up to. Really love it. Really appreciate it. And until next time, keep it flowing. Thanks so much for joining me, the Doo-Doo Diva, on this week's episode of Smells Like Money. What stood out to you this week? Share your takeaways by leaving me a review. You can find out more about the new technologies, creating sustainable solutions and insights on how to succeed in our vital industry by subscribing to the show. Whether you want to learn about the latest trends in wastewater infrastructure, treatment, or trenchless, you've got it all right here at Smells Like Money. If you're an industry expert and would like to be considered as a guest for the show, book a quick chat with me by visiting calendly.com/thetuitgroup/B-A-podcast-guest, or simply click the link in the show notes below. Until next week, a big shout out to all my industry friends and those who will be. You are my superheroes. Thanks for tuning in, keeping it flowing, and we'll see you all next week.